The second step, which you are going to use in your assignment 2. So we are going to learn how to do the conceptual data modeling. Once you get the data requirements, which you are getting or gathering in the assignment 1, how to convert those data requirements into conceptual model. So we will learn how to create a conceptual model in today's lecture this week as well as next week. So these are the topics we are going to cover today and on Friday. So basic concepts, how we make the ER model. We are going to use one of the conceptual data model, that is ER model, entity relationship model. So whenever we create a database application, there are basically two parts. Database design, that is the backside where all the data is stored, and the front design, that is the application design. In this particular course, we are going to focus on the back part. How to store the data in a proper way so that we will have less difficulty in updating, adding, or viewing the data later on. We are not going to discuss the front-end part, how to create the application programs for the novice users. So if you remember, last week we saw this diagram. Did you remember? And the steps we are going to follow, the right-hand side part is related with the back-end database design. The left-hand side part is related with the front-end, the application program or the interface design. So we are going to just do the steps which are given on the right-hand side. And if you see it, you are already doing in assignment 1 the first step, that is requirement collection and analysis. But you are just focusing on gathering the data requirement, not the functional requirement, because we are not going to create the application programs. So you are already doing the first step, and the next step is conceptual design. So we need to learn how to do the conceptual design. If we have gathered the data requirements, how to convert into a format which can later be stored inside the computer. So we are trying to gather the information, and then we will convert it into a format which can be later used to store our data inside the computer. So in this particular chapter and throughout the book, we are going to use this particular example, data requirements, and basically we are taking a company example, just like you people have taken in your project or assignment different other areas. So here in during the course, because the book is also following this, so we are going to take the example of a company. So these are some of the data requirements. We will come back to this later on. First we will learn what is a ER model, what are the basic concepts, and how to design it. So in the ER model concept, the main thing is entities. What is an entity? It is a specific object of thing in the mini world that are represented in the database. For example, if we take the example of company, what can be the entities? So in the company, we have employees, we have the departments under which these employees are working. There may be some projects going on in the company, and these employees are working on these projects, and these projects may be handled by these departments. And there may be many, many more entities. Let's take another example. For example, the university database. What can be the potential entities in a university database? What are the main things about which you need to store the data? Students, what else? Subjects or courses, what else? Teachers. So these are some potential entities in a student database. Similarly, in hospital, some of the potential entities can be patient, doctors, nurses. If it is about that kind of hospital where there are rooms where patients can stay, then we can keep the information about the room, what's their capacity, how many people can stay there. There can be other employees also who supports the day-to-day functioning of the hospital. We may divide the employees into doctors, nurses, and other admin staff, and other staff also. So there can be many potential entities in that case. Then, once we identify the entities in ER modeling, the entities are specified with the help of rectangles. So you make the rectangles and you write the name of the entity. This is the way we represent the entities. Now, entity itself is not sufficient. We need to describe the details, properties of an entity. And that we describe with the help of attributes. So, the next thing is, what is an attribute? And we specify attribute with the help of a ellipse. And we connect with the entity with which this attribute is related with. So we may have many attributes related with every entity. For example, social security number or PID, like we have in Norway. We may have name. We may have address. We may have date of birth and many other. For example, phone number. Similarly, for department, we may have many other. For example, department code, department name, and location. Maybe the company is spread among many different cities and the different departments may be in a different cities. Now, all the attributes are not of similar type. There is a difference between the different attribute and we have different notations to specify those different type of attribute. So, what are the different type of attributes? We will learn next. So, there are different type of attribute and we have different notations for these attribute. So, first of all, simple attribute. An attribute which has just one value and which cannot be divided further into different parts. For example, department name is a simple attribute. It cannot be further divided into simple parts. For every department, there is only one value for department name. So it is a simple attribute. What can be a composite attribute? An attribute which can be further divided into simple parts. For example, a person name, we can divide it into three parts. Normally, first name, middle name, last name. So, name is a composite attribute, whereas these are simple attributes because they cannot be further divided. Then the next one is single valued versus multi-valued attribute. For example, for a particular employee X suppose, how many values of name will be? If we make it like this, suppose PID is 1. For an employee whose PID is 1, how many values for first name will exist? How many names a person can have? How many official names we can have? 1, right? So, but how many values for phone number can exist for a particular person or employee? How many phone numbers will you have? How many you have? So there is a chance that you may have more than one phone numbers, right? And that's why phone number is a multi-valued attribute, because there is a chance an employee can have one or more phone numbers. Whereas PID, name, date of birth will be single value. What about the address? Is it a simple or is it a composite attribute? It's a composite attribute. So how can we divide it into different parts? What can be the different smaller constituent part of address? Maybe the house number. Some kind of zip code. All right, so address is a composite attribute which can be further divided into simple parts. Is address single valued or multi-valued? For an employee can have only one value for address or can have multiple values. Think in your scenario, can you have two addresses? Yes, it's possible. Again, it depends on what's your area, what's your requirements. In some of the requirements, there may be a constraint that we are just storing the permanent address, the one main address of an employee. If this is the case in your data requirements, then your address is single valued. But if your requirements are like that we have to store not only the permanent address, but the other addresses as well, then it will be a multi-valued attribute. So in ER modeling, there is no one perfect answer. It depends on how you perceive the problem. What's your requirement? And based on that, your design may change. And similarly in exam, although I'll give you data requirements and I'll ask you to make the ER model, you may perceive the problem in a different way. And as long as you write your assumptions, and if your design matches your assumptions, then your solution is as correct as my solution. So there is no one standard answer here. It depends on how you perceive your problem, the area which you are making database for. So there is a chance that address can be a multi-valued attribute. So how we are making it? Simple attribute is just like an ellipse. Composite attribute is have different simple parts, atomic parts coming out of it. Single valued attribute, again, same, simple and single valued. Multi-valued attribute, double ellipses. Now, the next is, so this is a multi-valued attribute. Then the next is stored versus derived attribute. Most of the attributes usually are stored attribute. Because when we create the database, we need to supply their values ourselves. So we need to enter the value of those attribute. But some of the attributes can be derived attribute whose value can be calculated from some other stored attribute. For example, suppose if there is another attribute here, this is the way we show the derived attribute. Do we need to supply the value of age, or can it be calculated from some other attribute? What? Yeah, how we can calculate? From birth date. So this is a stored attribute. When we will create the database, we need to supply the value for date of birth for every employee. But we don't need to store each and every employee's age, because age can be calculated through date of birth. So this is a derived attribute whose value can be populated using the another stored attribute. So this is actually all of them are stored attribute except this. We don't need to provide the value for age. It can be calculated automatically by if we use a query by using the date of birth. So this is stored and this is derived. Can the last benches see, or is it too small? It's good. Okay. Then the last one is key attribute. Every entity usually should have an attribute whose value is unique for every entity. For example, the name of two employees can be same. Isn't it? Two employees working in a company may have the same name. They might be living in the same address. It's possible they might be related, working in the same place, and their address is same. There is a possibility that two employees may have the same date of birth, right? So there is a possibility that there is another employee with the same number. But what about the PID? Can two employees have the same personal identification number? It's not possible. So every employee should have a distinct, different value for the PID. And that is our key attribute. And this is the way we specify it. So this is key attribute. So every employee should have a different value for key attribute. But the other attributes, the same value can come twice in the whole table. Now, what can be the key attribute for this? Department entity, what can be the key attribute? Can you please choose between the ones which are written here? Department code can be a key attribute. Is there any other type of attribute here? Are all of them simple? Is there a possibility that one of them is composite? Or is there a possibility that one of them is multi-valued or derived? Can you think about it? How? Yes, so it can be composite, same as the address. Will it be single valued? Yes. It can also be multi-valued. A company may have a department which is at the multiple location. So location is composite and multi-valued at the same time. Department code is simple, single-valued and key attribute. So there can be a particular attribute, maybe many of these at the same time. For example, see this. It is composite but single valued. This one is composite as well as multiple values. This one is simple and derived and single valued. This one is simple, stored, single valued. So an attribute can have multiple type at the same time. Now let's go through the slides and see if we missed anything. So we saw what are entities. Entities are specific objects or things in the mini world that are represented in the database. For example, employee John Smith, research department, a particular product. Project. Attributes are properties used to describe an entity. For example, employee can be described with the help of these attributes. A specific entity will have a value for each of the attributes. So, a particular employee belonging to this entity type will have value for all of these attributes. So this is an And every attribute has a domain set or value set. The set of values which can be put in that particular attribute. For example, PID. What kind of values can be stored for this attribute? Can we have character values? You need to specify while creating the database that what kind of values this particular attribute can take. Is it numeric? Is it character? Is it some other type? What kind of value are permissible in that particular attribute? So usually in PID, the values which can be stored here is number type, numeric, and 11 digit long. Isn't it? Our personal ID is 11 digit long numeric number. Similarly, for first name, middle name, last name, it can have character value. For example, 15 characters long. Phone number is again numeric. 10 or I don't know, if we say the country code also, it can be much more bigger. So you need to specify what kind of values can be permissible for a particular attribute. Then only those kind of value can be stored inside that. So it can be integer or numeric, it can be string, character, or many other types are possible. We already saw these type of attributes, simple attribute. Each entity has a single atomic value for the attribute. Composite, the attribute may be composed of several components. We saw address, we saw location. Multivalued, if an attribute can have multiple values, then it is called multivalued attribute. Now, can you give me another examples of composite as well as multivalue? And you don't have to stick to these entities. Think about new entities, its attribute, and think about different type of attributes. So you have a couple of minutes, start thinking. I may ask anyone. You can work in group also. This we will talk next after I'll get the examples you are thinking about. All right. Anyone? Anyone? Please volunteer. Otherwise, I'll ask. Any entity and the different attributes, and you may not think of all the different types, maybe some types. No answer, no response. It's going to be very, very boring otherwise if I keep on talking and you keep on listening. Yes. Okay. Okay, so we have authors. Okay, let's figure it out together. Author, and the author has written books. All right. Let's think about, this is what you were thinking, right? They are, okay, all right. They are two different entities, right? Author is different, books are different. And these authors are writing those books. That is a relationship. We didn't talk about relationship yet, but we'll come to it soon. So now think about the attributes of authors and books. Did I change totally what you were thinking? No. Okay. That's good. Think about the attributes. You all know the book's attributes. You all are purchasing different books, reading different books. May not be the school books, but maybe different books. And you might have many favorite authors. So what are the details about the authors you know? Yeah. Name. Yes, there is a possibility. What about the name? So there is a composite, or it is a simple, or this is composite, or is it simple? Name is composite. We already saw, actually the name works in the same way, whichever entity is it is related with. What about the pen name? Is it just one name, or it can be two different characters, sets? Composite again. All right. Whatever. There are two parts. What else? Yeah, genre. So the books have the genre, not the author. Is it the characteristic of that person, the genre? The author is that genre. Yes, it is more appropriate to associate the genre with the book than with the, because person as such don't have genre. Again, it is not the attribute of the person. We are not talking about this. You may have some attribute here. It writes a particular kind of book. Let's not go in. This is, we are coming advanced because we just started discussing it. But it is definitely not the attribute of the author. Author is a person. Suppose tomorrow, if the author changes and instead of mystery, started writing drama. It is just like if you associate a teacher with the course, that my preferred teaching course is database. But database is not my characteristic, or course is not my characteristic as a teacher. We will come back to this again. But usually the books have this. All right? All right, so books have... which other attributes? How do you identify a particular book from other book? Okay, just it. Then you will have a stack here and a stack here. How can you identify each individual book? ISBN. What? This will be the key attribute. And later on, when we will convert it into relational table, it will be called primary key. But when we are talking about conceptual modeling, ER modeling, we don't talk in terms of primary key, foreign key. It is a key attribute. Yeah, any other? Title? There is too much name in everywhere. Department name, employee name, author name. So let's think about something else. Title? Maybe price? Yeah, we are coming back to that, definitely. Huh? Okay, yeah. Again, there is whether to include it as an attribute of author or whether price itself can be a separate entity. If there are some standard prices, then we can make price itself as a different entity. But it depends on how you are perceiving. So right now, okay, let's put it here. Prize 1. And then an author may have multiple prize 1. So it can be multi-valued attribute. Because here when we are making conceptual modeling, we don't have to specify the values. We just need to specify whether it can have multiple values or it can only have single values. Whether every value which will come in this column should be unique or whether the value can be repeated. So we just specify this, but we don't have to specify each and individual values right now. Because we are not talking in terms of, we are just thinking about the design right now. The actual data will come later when we will create it inside the computer. Because if we will fill the data right now and if we need to make some changes, then everything needs to be changed and it will be too much work. Okay, so we identified key attribute, composite, multi-valued. Can you think about some stored and derived attributes? Release year, okay. Is it stored? Okay, so think about a derived attribute now. There can be an addition. A book may have multiple additions. Suppose, look, the case is different here. When we were talking about date of birth and age, if we know the date of birth from this value, this can be automatically calculated by using some arithmetic operations, etc. If you know the current date, which usually we can get from the computer, so just subtract this from the current date and we get the value of this. But the one we are just talking about, that we, if we know the ISBN, can we get the title? What you are talking is actually that is the key functionality. We are not supposed to discuss this, but if we know the ISBN, automatically, can we calculate this value like this by using some expressions or something? What you are talking about is a unique value helps us to identify all the other attributes, but it is not automatically calculated. Like if you know the personal number of a person, you can retrieve all the other details from the database, because every person has a unique personal number. But here the question is something else. We haven't yet stored. So if you know the ISBN without providing the value of title, can it be automatically calculated? It can't. So title cannot be derived attribute. Find another example. Maybe from edition, the year of release, can it be somehow related? So from edition, we can have, so in that case, the edition is multi-valued and the release will be multi-valued too. So we have multiple editions and accordingly multiple release year. Right? Okay. So far good? Everything clear? Should we move to the next? And just let me know when it is time to break, because sometimes with the flow I forget. And teachers are famous for forgetting the things. As we go up, we forget everything. All right. So the next thing is, there are three different terms used in entity relationship modeling. And there is a small difference. And sometimes we confuse. Even I confuse sometimes. All right. And unknowingly, we use these three words interchangeably. So let's see what's the difference between the three. Yeah. Okay. Is it hard or you cannot say at all? Can I change from next time or do I need to rewrite? Okay. I'll write the main word again. So entity type is collection of all the entities with the same properties. So employee is an entity type. We are not talking about a particular entity here, a particular employee here. We are talking about set of something which are described with the help of similar type of attribute. So employee with these attribute is an entity type described with the help of these attribute. When we are talking about a particular employee with SSN 1, first name this, middle name this, last name this, then that is an entity, employee entity, a particular employee. So this is entity type, set of all the employees. This is a particular employee entity, and all the data at a particular moment of time, because it keeps on changing, is called entity set, employee entity set. So this is an employee entity set. If we are talking about a particular employee, it is employee entity. And if we have no data, we just are talking in abstract term about group of employees described with the help of these particular attributes, then it is called entity type. Last time, if you remember, we talked about some words like schema and instance. Entity type is schema. We just have in abstract term group of something describing with the help of some attribute. And when we also have the data at a particular moment of time, that is called instance or entity set. And because that data keep on changing, so you will have new entity set or new instance. A new employee will come up. Some of the things about existing employee will change, or an employee may leave, so that part we are going to delete. So instance or set keeps on changing. Schema or type, usually once we finalize, it remains the same. So this we already saw, composite attributes. Again, entities with the same basic attributes are grouped or typed into an entity type. So this is an entity type. For example, entity type project, entity type employee, entity type author, books, student, course. So when we are talking about in general term, we are not talking about a particular employee, particular student with this values. So it is called entity type. Attribute we already saw. An attribute of an entity type for which each entity must have a unique value. So SSN is an attribute for which each employee should have a particular value. Key attribute. A key attribute can be composite. Can you think about, okay, it's time to break, right? Let's have a break and then we will continue. Shall we start? All right, so a key attribute can be composite. So far, all of the entities we have seen, a single attribute is making the key attribute. But there is a possibility that the key attribute itself is composite. For example, in case of vehicle, we have license plate number. Which is usually a key attribute because for every vehicle it is unique, it is different, and it can be divided into state and number. There is a possibility that a particular entity may have two key attributes. So usually in vehicle, it has a unique license plate number, and usually there is a number associated with the machine itself, that is the engine number, which is also unique. So an entity may have more than one key attribute, and a key attribute itself can be composite. So, one attribute alone cannot be unique. So, it is actually divided into two different parts. Usually, in the license plate, we have the first two characters identify which country or state it is from, and then we have some sequence of numbers. This we have already seen. An entity type is displayed in rectangle or rectangular box. Attribute are displayed in ovals. This is one example. And can you see what is an entity type, what is an entity set, and what is a car entity? The first representation in A is entity type. The B representation is entity set. All the car details at a particular moment of time is the entity set for car entity type. And when we are talking about a particular car, for example, car 1, it is an entity of entity type car. Is that clear, the difference between all three? Any response? This or yes will be highly appreciated. Did you understand the difference between the three? Okay, thank you. So each entity type will have a collection of entities stored in a database. It's called entity set. Let's not go into these three again and again. Just see the last line. Entity set is the current state of the entities of that type that are stored in the database. So in the company database, which we are following in this book, we have four type of entities so far. We have identified three of them you have already seen. I wrote it on the board, and there is other fourth as well. So we have departments, we have project, we have employee, and we have dependents. Dependents of employees. Usually in the companies we store the dependents of a particular employee just for social security purposes. So there are four type of entities here in the company database. And as you can see, there are multi-valued attributes. Which one is the multi-valued? Locations is multi-valued. Name is composite. Can you see? Location is multi-valued. Works on is multi-valued. And can you see independent? Any key attribute? There are key attribute in department. In department, the key is name. In project, the key is name again. In employee, the personal number or social security number is the key. But in dependent, there is no key attribute. We will talk about such kind of entities later on. Most of the time, the entity type has key attribute. And they are called strong entity types. Those who have key attribute. But there are some entity types which doesn't have sufficient attribute to make up the key attributes. And they are called weak entity types. And we will talk about them a little bit later. Then once we identify the entities, these entities cannot dangle in space just like that. If we are creating a database and if we have multiple entities, we need to find some ways to relate them. So they have their attributes. I am not writing all of them because we have already discussed them many times. So these are the entities we have identified, but we need to relate them. They cannot be, because if we will not relate them, there will be four tables which are not related with each other. And will it satisfy the definition of database? Database is a collection of related data. So whichever you are making, they need to be related with each other. Then only it fulfills the definition of a database. Otherwise, there are some separate things which are not related, and it will be very difficult to find some data which will give you meaningful information. So we need to relate these entities, and that we do with the help of relationships. So in ER model, we have mainly three concepts: entities, attributes, and relationships. So a relationship relates two or more distinct entities with a specific meaning. For example, and that we depict with the help of diamond shape. So employees are working for department. There can be more than one relationship type between two entities. For example, employees are working for department, and some of these employees are managing the department. So normally all of them are working under different departments, and some of these employees may be the managers, chairpersons. These employees are managing the department. So there are two different type of relationship between these two entities. There can be many more here. The projects are controlled by a specific department. Or these employees have, or employee has a dependent. So these are the relationship. Not all of them have to be related, but all of them have to be directly or indirectly related. So now see here, there is no direct relation between dependents and project. or between rest of them are actually these employees are also working in so all three of them are basically directly related employee with project employee with department department with project but there can be a possibility that some of them are only related with one of them so the final thing is that each one of them should be directly or indirectly related but there shouldn't be an entity like this dangling in space not related with anything it shouldn't be the case now when we have the relationship there are some specific things we need to specify about each relationship and there are two constraints which we need to specify with relationship types first one is cardinality ratios whether the relationship is 1:1, 1:n or m:n and second thing is we need to specify participation constraint so whether the relationship is total or partial so let's discuss first the cardinalities so for every relationship we need to specify whether a relationship type is 1:1 1:n or m:n so let's see works for a particular employee can work for how many departments for example me an employee can work for how many departments is it possible okay usually it is one but then it depends on the area in some places it is possible that you are working under many department but usually the employee is associated with one main department so if we take one then this is one here now let's try to read it from this side a department can have how many employees working for it many so n or m means many we are using two different symbols because we want to specify that these are not the same number it means many but they both are not 6 or they both are not 16 so that's why we are using two different all right let's talk about managers a particular employee who is a manager can manage how many departments usually there can be exception cases one so an employee can manage one department a particular department can be managed by how many employees one so this is a 1:1 relationship this is 1:many or many to one depending on which side you are reading from okay let's talk about works on a particular employee can work on how many projects many projects a project may have how many employees working on it many now here it is many to many but we cannot use n both sides because then it will mean that the number here and the number here is same and that's why we use two different alphabet so this is also many this is also many but they are not the same number so an employee can work for example many project, for example, 4 project a particular employee is working on. And a project may have many employees, for example, a particular project may have 10 employees, other may have 15 employees or 5 employees. So these two numbers means many, but they are not the same number. All right, an employee can have how many dependents? Usually, how many dependents? How many family members an employee can have who are dependent on that particular employee, his or her? Many, isn't it? A dependent is dependent on how many employees? Usually one officially. So this is one to many. Let's talk about this one. A department can control how many projects? Many. A project can be controlled by how many departments? Usually many. Usually it should be one, but there may be cases. We are just putting this according to how we perceive the problem. There may be cases where a project may be shared between two different departments, and then it will be many to many instead of one to many. So this is just some cases, but it may change from case to case. All right, now let's try to think of other one-to-one, one-to-many, or many-to-many relationship. Can you think? Just talk with your friends. You can work on team. Think about some examples of one-to-one, one-to-many, and many-to-many. One-to-many and many-to-many are easier to find. One-to-one is more difficult to find. Yeah, the author book example. Let's see this. So we have author. Okay, what kind of relationship it is? What is the cardinality here? An author can write many books. A particular book can be written by many authors. So it is a M to N or many to many relationship. Most of them are one to many or many to many. Now we found a many to many. Find one to many and one to one. Or any other many to many if you can find. Okay. So rector is an employee. Right? There is another. It has actually come to that, similar to that. So this is the collection of all the employees of all the universities. These are all the universities. And some of these employees are rectors, so they are heading the university. And these employees are also working for the university. It is similar to that one. So this will be This can be many to many. A person can work on many universities, full time, part time, something like that. So it is, but this will be one to one. An employee can be head of one university. Usually this is the case. A university has only one employee chairing it. An employee can work for multiple universities. We have many cases. A university has many employees working for it. Okay. Think some other one to many. Okay, think any type and then we will figure out what kind it is. Yeah. Yes. We can have car or we can have vehicle in general. If we talk about properties, houses, land, instead of vehicle, will it still be one to many or will it change? Is there a joint ownership possible here in Norway of a property? Then in that case, it will be many to many. So, any other interesting examples? It changes from country to country. The places where I come from, there can be joint owners equally, equal joint owners. It's same in Norway? Okay. Okay, so for your case, it is one to many. For my case, it is many to many. These are the nominees then. They are not the owners. They become owner later on. Okay. Alright, so I'm coming from a different place. So we have a different concepts about it. And it's totally fine that we may think of it as many to many or one to many. Because obviously the system here or the system where I came from, they are not exactly storing the similar type of data. We have rules, different rules in different countries, and accordingly the municipality or whatever is the responsible department is storing the data. Yeah. Yeah. So it depends on for which particular company or for which group of user you are creating the database. So what are their requirements? And that's why the first stage of assignment one is very, very important. You need to think about all of those things at this stage in assignment one. Yes, sorry. In the exam, I expect you to comment. You need to write your assumptions. Otherwise, if there is no assumption, I'll match with my solution. Because I'm thinking in my way and I don't know if there is another case possible. And I'm sure there are many cases possible. we all are coming from different places and regions. So you need to write your assumption, and if your assumption matches what you have drawn, and until and unless your assumption is not totally 100% wrong, I'll give you marks. Or I will specify in my data requirement that you need to assume this particular case. Then you cannot assume anything else. So either my problem will be so descriptive that everything is written there and you don't need to assume anything. Or if there is something I have missed, then you need to assume, but write down your assumptions. Is it too much explanation? Okay. All right. So anybody wants to say something about any other example, or shall we move forward? So I take it as a no, because I didn't see any yes or any this or this. So let's move forward. Okay, so this we talked about cardinality ratio. Let's see where we are in the slides. Another thing we missed is degree of a relationship type. How many entity types are participating in a relationship? That forms the degree of a relationship type. For example, all the relationship types we have seen so far are binary. Two entities are participating. And in all these examples, two are participating. So most of the relationship we see are binary. But there can be a possibility of a ternary relationship or a relationship of degree more than three. Usually, we just limit ourselves till ternary, where three entity types are participating. We don't make relationship of degree more than three because it is very difficult to then translate into the database form. It is very, very complicated. And if we need to, we divide it into multiple binary or multiple ternary. So what can be a ternary relationship? We will just come to it after we will discuss this. So all of the examples we have seen so far are binary relationships, because there are only two entity types which are participating in the relationship type. Yeah. This one, but this is again a binary. No, just tell me. I know what you are trying to say. There can be a ternary. That's what you are trying to say? Okay, ternary between which three? Yeah. So instead of these two, employee working for department and employee working on projects, we can have one ternary. Employee working for department with different projects. But that's what I was saying. We can have one ternary instead of two binary, but usually we prefer the binaries. So instead of one ternary, we prefer to have two binary, because it makes our case later on much more simpler to convert it into database format. But you are absolutely right. Instead of have two binary, we can have one ternary. And it can still store the same information, but little bit in a complicated way. And that's why whenever there is a possibility of a relationship of degree where many, many entities are participating, we try to divide it into many binaries instead of one that complex relation. Okay, that's what we did this, and I'm glad that you figured it out here. Okay, so if we see in the instance diagram, this is the way the relationship will look like. In the employee entity set, we have all the employee, which we have put it here as employee 1, employee 2, and all the other employees. And there we have three departments, department 1, department 2, department 3. And this is the relationship works for. And as you see, it is one to many. So from one side, only one row is coming out of one instance. But from other side, multiple are coming, because a department can have multiple employees working for it. So see, multiple lines are coming out of one department, because a department can have many employees working for it. And that's what is shown there. Every department have multiple lines coming out of it. But in this side, an employee can work for one department. So every employee, there is only one line coming out of it. So if we describe it with the help of instance diagram, it will look something like this. But we don't have to specify like this. It's too complicated. It is just made to make us understand that if we change it into data form, this is the way it will look like. And of course, instead of E1, E2, E3, we will have some specific employee. Instead of D1, D2, D3, we will have accounts department, sales department, and particular departments. Okay, so this is the way it will be. Now see here, can you differentiate this with and this one? This is one to many. This is many to many. Both side, multiple lines are coming out of a particular employee or particular project, because this relation is many to many. An employee can work on many projects. So some of the employees are still working for one project, but some of them are working for multiple projects. So multiple lines are coming out of it. And similarly, a project have multiple employees. So every project, multiple lines are coming. In one project, there is only one employee. So many doesn't mean that there cannot be one also. It means one or more. So for example, for P1, P3, P4, it's more. And for P2, it's one. One or more employees working. So many means one or more. One means only one. So same as we have entity type and entity set, we have relationship type and relationship set. So this is a relationship type, and this center one with all the instances given is relationship set. You don't have to go into the set right now. We are just talking in terms of types, entity types with their attribute and relationship type and their cardinalities. So we use diamond shaped box to represent the relationship type. They are connected to the participating entity types with the help of a straight line. These are some of the relationships. We already identified them. And this is the whole entity relationship diagram, but we have not seen some of the things yet. All right, so before we come to the recursive relationship, we need to discuss about the participation constraint. So a particular entity type can participate in a relationship type either in a total way or in a partial way. So see here, you need to ask the question like this: are all employees working under department? Or can you find an employee who is not associated with a department? For example, the CEO. Yeah, that's true. So in that case, it is not all the employees which exist here in the collection of employees are participating in this relationship. So this will remain single line. So this is called partial participation. Now see from this side, the participation of department in the same relation. Are every department has employees working for it? Or can you find a department where there is no employee? Can a department exist without employees working for it? No. So every department that exists in this collection should have employees working for it. And that is total participation. Every department has employee working for it. So this is total. This is partial. Let's see for this. Does every employee manages the departments? Only some of them participate in this. Only some of them manages. So again, this is partial. Now let's see from here. Does every department is managed by someone? So this is also total. So you won't find a department that exists in this not managed. So that's why it is total. Now see here, does every employee has dependents? Okay. Those who are saying yes, give the reason. Those who are saying no, give the reason. Usually, who are the dependents? I don't know. Again, this information is coming from my background. The dependents are considered either your spouse or partner and children. The parents are usually not considered as dependents. Yeah. Then you don't have dependents. So does every employee has dependents? No. So this will remain partial. Is every dependent is associated with an employee? The list of dependents you are keeping for the company database, can you find a dependent which is not associated with an employee? No. Why we are keeping them then? So this will be total. Now, can you figure out here? Will it be total or partial? Now, I'm not going to ask the question. You ask the question yourself. And if you will not ask, then there is no option. I'll ask. But I'll prefer if you ask. Is it total or partial? So not every employee works for the project. There may be employees who are working in the department but not working on any project. So in that case, it will be partial. What about the project side? Does every project has employees working for it, or can you find a project where is no employee? Usually it has to have some employees working for it. So this is total. So this is the total and partial participations. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you can use that type of notations. But here we are using Peter Chan's notation because that's the notation our book follows. So there are multiple ways of putting this total partial. But I don't want to confuse you. So there are crossword, there is other notation where you specify the multiplicity. So instead of that, we are putting like this. Totally? Yeah. What does partial means? See here, there is a partial and there is a total. What does it mean? This partial is coming like others who don't want to get confused, don't look at what I have written. I have just written for him. Okay, so this partial will go on this side, 0. And this n comes here. And this total comes here, that there must be one at least employee. And this m comes here. Now read it again. An employee can work on minimum 0 and maximum many projects. A project may have minimum 1 and maximum many employees working under it. So that is a different notations. I don't want to use it because it will confuse you more. Our book and the tool which we are going to use both use Peter Chan's notation. So let's not go into that. No, we can't. At this stage, we can't. And we are not supposed to. We are leaving the complexities right now. Because we are trying to see the design on a high level. So whether it is 2 or 5 or 10, it doesn't matter. There are many. One or many. More than one. Okay? So we are not differentiating between those numbers right now. We will come to that when we will really create the database. So we are trying to, right now, when you start a database project, you don't know much things. You don't have much information. You have not started thinking in detail about the problem area. So you know some superficial details, and that's why you don't need to specify those details right now. As you go later into the project, you will see the solution more clearly, and then you will need to specify those things. Plus, if we will go into the details too much here, we will be lost. So we try to keep it as simple, as high level as possible. All right? Okay. Can you see the total and partial on the right hand side, your left hand side and my right hand side examples? What about person owns vehicle? Is both side partial or any one of them can be total? This one. Participation. And the person has partial. Can anyone else explain it? Can any one of you explain it? Not every person has to own a vehicle, but if there exists a vehicle, it has to be owned by somebody. What about author and book? Last couple of minutes, just little bit of patience, then you are free. What about this? Does every author writes a book? Otherwise, why he or she is called an author? Okay. Does every book is written by an author? Yes. How it will exist otherwise? Okay, so both of them are total. This is again same like that. Every property has to be owned by someone. Not every person is owning a property. Not every employee is a head, partial. Every university has a head, total. Suppose, now see here this one. We are talking about the employees working for university. Is it partial or total? Again, if we are talking about only the employees, set of employees who are just working for the university, then it has to be total. But if you are talking about set of employees working for different things, then it will be partial. But if it is a set of only the employees working for the universities, then it has to be total. And every university has employees working for it. So it will be something like this. Is that clear? All right, so we will continue with the same chapter next time on Friday, and we will learn a little bit more. Thank you very much for your patience. See you on Friday. Please don't forget to attend one of the lab. We are starting the lab this time, so you will start learning SQL. And this week we are going to also talk about the assignment 1 during the lab.